partizanen obležalan in kukuruzen.
Lepo pozdravljeni poslušalci in poslušalke Radija Študent v današnjem nekoliko izrednem terminu oddaje, v kateri se bomo ukvarjali z skrajno desnico in neonacizmom v Avstriji, v Salzburgu, belem mestu. Mogoče za začetek bi bilo smiselno razložiti kontekst, zakaj sploh je prišlo do te oddaje in do te tematike. V okviru projekta Grundtvig, se pravi evropskega projekta, ki v na katerem sodelujejo številni radiji, mislim, da približno 10 radijev iz cele Evrope in katerega tema je obravnava zgodovinskih tem na skupnostnih radijih. No, v okviru tega projekta smo gostovali na Radiu Fabrik in se pravi se z njimi dogovorili za temo skrajne desnice v Salzburgu. Oni pa so nam priskrbeli, bi lahko rekli, sogovornike, strokovnjake in razne poznavalce te teme. Tam smo gostovali poleg mene še Robert Mohorič, direktor radija, ki ga danes zni z nami, in pa Aleš in Gregor, ki sta prisotna v studiju. Mogoče za začetek, kar če gremo, zakaj smo se odločili za to temo?
Ja, v bistvu nekako se v zadnjem času v Evropi in tudi širše pojavljajo te formacije skrajne desnice, ki se ponavadi predpostavljajo, da izhajajo iz tega, da je ekonomska pozicija dokaj slaba in kot posledica so išle skrajne desnice. Zdaj, kakor bomo videli v Avstriji, ni čisto tako, ker ekonomska slika tam je zelo dobra in brezposelnih skoraj, kar se tiče Avstrijcev, ni. Bomo več slišali potem iz izjav in skozi intervjuje, zakaj mogoče ta skrajna desnica konsolidira v Avstriji. Zdaj pa še preden pa začnemo, pa mogoče sam par besed o Radio Fabrik, kako je konstituiran, kako deluje, ker v bistvu je dokaj drugačen kot Radio Študent, čeprav smo bili kot gostje, kot neki dokaj smo bili tretirani kot nek podoben radio v tem fazonu radio v Evropi. Mogoče, če bi to odvajal, kaj povedal Radio Fabrik.
Ja, mogoče značilnost tega, mislim, da je to nasploh koncept community radio, ampak pri njih to zgleda tako, se pravi, da imajo neko jedro radijcev oziroma nek NGO, v katerem deluje neko ožje število ljudi, medtem ko so pa vsi ostali izvajalci, ki jih je na Radiu Fabrik, mislim, da neka ogromna številka, okrog 300 rednih ustvarjalcev, se pravi še večje število kot na Radiu Študent, so pa to vse prostovoljci, ki delajo na neki prostovoljni bazi, se pravi brez honorarja. Mogoče za razliko od Radia Študent je tudi tu pomembno, da je Radio Fabrik pravzaprav nima nobene ideologije, nobene, ker recimo, da Radio Študent ima neko zgodovinsko vlogo, medtem, ko je Radio Fabrik neka čista platforma za vse vsebine, razen seveda rasizma, šovinizma, nacizma in pa nekih skrajno prevratniških idej. Ne. Drugače pa to pravzaprav neka čist prazna forma, ki se lahko napolni z vsebino.
Dejansko se mi zdi, da tudi nima nekaj koncepta programske scheme. Nekako sem saj, tako se mi je zdel, da tekom naših pogovorov, ki smo imeli tam, da je bilo zelo nekako, da so bili ponosni na to, mislim, da so celo enkrat rekli, da o tem so pa boljši kot Radio Študent, da imajo zelo veliko teh različnih narodnosti. Ne? Mislim, da se hvala, da imajo neke oddaje v bolgarskem jeziku in tako zelo nekako se mi je zdel, da so bili ponosni na neko internacionalnost, ki ne bi bila pač tam. Ne? Mislim, iz tega vidika, da je ta v nekem smislu multikulturalizem ali kako.
Ne, mogoče bilo treba še enkrat podariti prav ta, da enostavno tam lahko pride kdorkoli, kot je rekel že Jernej, edina prepreka je, če se pač, če govoriš kaj preveč radikalno, tudi levo politično, seveda desno, vsekakor ne gre, seksizmi, fašizmi, to je vse prepovedano, drugače pa se lahko delaš kar hočeš tam, to je to. Ja. Prideš in delaš, še mogoče ena posebnost je ta, da moraš plačati 25 evrov na letni bazi članarino, da si potem član Radija Fabrik in lahko potem deluješ. Nudi pa pač ta osnovna podporna platforma, ti nudi te bazično usposabljanje, se pravi, da znaš ti z mešalko delovati, da znaš naučijo te nekaj brati, tako da v etru deluješ kakor toliko suveren. To mislim, da je edina, kar ti tak radio ponuja. Ampak je pa zanimivo, ker se srečujejo različni ljudje in tudi nekaj potem državne dogodke prirajajo, se pravi.
Mislim, njihova, oni recimo dojemajo z njihovega stališča radio študent kot bolj zaprt radio, ne? Bo, se pravi, ni toliko odprt, ne more jih vsak imeti oddaje in tako naprej. Ne? Dobro, gremo potem kar na vsebino, ali še kaj?
Ja, mislim, meni se zdi tudi, da se lepo nekako preliva ta Radio Fabrik pa celotna politična scena, ki je bila tam v Salzburgu, ne, da je nekako tudi tekom intervjuje, ko smo jih delali s Stefanom pa Helgo in tako naprej, da je tudi nekako to, kar tvori recimo Levico ali kakorkoli že se pač zajema, mislim, kakorkoli se že imajo tam, je bilo ravno to nekaj, da so proti desni, proti nekako zelo tako strpni drug do drugega, ne, tako v nekaj smislu zelo lepo. Ampak po drugi strani pa vsem se mi zdi nekako zelo zmedeno. No? In zdi se mi, da tudi to, kar je Radio Fabrik, v nekem smislu ideološko, neideološko, kakorkoli, ne, da nima eksplicirane neke ideologije, se mi zdi podobno tudi v nekem smislu njihova politična aktivnost, ki smo nekako tam zaznali. Ne? Tako da mogoče...
Ja, se pravi nek liberalizem, bi lahko mogoče tam tako rekli. Ne? Proti, se pravi proti desni, proti ekstremizmom, vendar brez vsake vsebine, vsebina je sam ta... proti, se pravi, in pač drugač pa neka svoboda in, ja, in podobne stvari.
Ok, pa kar gremo zdaj počasi k materiji, katero smo tam nabrali. Zdaj, prvi intervju, ki bo malo daljši, 25 minut bo trajal, bo intervju, ki smo ga upravili z Helgo Enbacher. Ona je profesorica zgodovine v tankajšnji, se pravi v Salzburgu na univerzi. Intervju se bo začel direkt z njeno izjavo, začela pa bo govoriti o nekak genezi te največje njihove nacionalistične stranke, se pravi svobodnjaške stranke, katere predsednik je bil do pač tistega usodnega, tiste usodne avtomobilske nesreče leta 2008 predsednik Jörg Haider. Povedala bo približno, kako se to vse skupaj začelo nastajati in nadaljevali bomo potem vseh od te negativne ideologije, ki jo poskuša s svojimi populizmi v družbo pošiljati stranka in tudi z recimo nekimi kvazi pozitivnimi idejami, ki jih ima. In nekako skozi pogovor se bomo prišli tudi do širše evropske problematike teh bolj ekstremnih nacionalizmov. Tako da ne boš, da kar si poslušamo to izjavo.
Maybe I go a little bit back in history. The FPÖ was actually the party that was supported by former Nazis and also by expelled Germans. There were Germans like also in Croatia who were expelled after from the communists, and so they were the people who voted for this party. And it was actually a small party, approximately 5%, and only in the 80s, in the late 80s, when Haider took over the party, it grew, it started to grow. And Austria was one of the first country where this, I wouldn't call it, it's hard to find the right term for it, because it's not really right wing. It's at this time, it was right populism. And Austria and also at the same time Le Pen in France, these were these countries where it started. And it was very much based on xenophobia and against immigrants. And it was a party mostly supported by young men. It was really a male party, I would say. And it was a very fascinating phenomenon because, you know, Haider is not this typical right-wing neo-Nazi. He was this handsome, and he went to parties, to discos, and and it's hard to really to accuse him of anti-Semitism. Sometimes, you know, he went too far, but he also knew when he had to end. And I think that's the difference to Germany, because in Germany you don't have this right left-wing populism. You have some neo-Nazis, you have this, after the reunification, you have really small groups of Republicans, or whatever you call them, but it's a very small group, and it's not growing all to almost 30%. And here it's also interesting that the successor of Haider, Strache, is actually the biggest working class party. Because, and I think the Social Democratic Party just doesn't know, is not the Social Democratic Party anymore, and so they gave up on these working class people, on kind of people who feel as losers. And the other very fascinating part about Austria is that the Haider, or the FPÖ, is very strong, but we are doing very well from an economically point of view. It's not because, you know, some people think the right-wing radicalism grows because people are unemployed, but that's not the fact here. So I think it's more a fear of getting unemployed. It's more about emotions, and it's not, because in Austria we are doing best among the European countries, and our unemployment rate is very, very, very low. And I think it's also connected to our system, because we have these coalitions between social democrats and conservative for many years. So nothing is changing in the parliament, and this is the protest party. And there's also a lot of corruption. And I think you have a couple of interpretations to find an answer to this phenomenon.
What is FPÖ, the agenda they are trying to address the people with? What kind of populisms? Anti-immigrants? This is the main theme, I believe.
It's anti-immigration. And here it's interesting that they differentiate between immigrants. Like sometimes they favor the Serbs so that they can be anti-Bosnia, because the Bosnians are connected to Islam. And they were anti-foreigners until the 90s, and then latest after 9/11 they started to be anti-Islam. So you can see it's not anti-foreigners, but it's very much now anti-Islam. And they're going very far, very far, and really Islamophobic. And it's interesting that no other party reacts, or they hardly ever react. If they go too far concerning anti-Semitism, there is protest. There's more protest than being anti-Islam. So this is one, but I think it's similar to Wilders in the Netherlands. Also, many of these right-wing parties are very Islamic now, and it's also very anti-European Union.
Anti-European
Union, yeah. This is, there was a big scandal just this week. The person who was running number one for the European Union elections was Andreas Mölzer. And he's, maybe I have to start differently. This party has a small German national wing. So they are really like still talking about Umvolkung, very anti-Semitic, they think in terms of Austrians as Aryans and German culture, so they're kind of a little bit connected to this Nazi ideology. This is, and they also represented by Burschenschaften. You know, these are the students who fight German national. You don't have that. A Burschenschaft is a fraternity at the university, and they most of them were national socialists, and they are. They're really the carriers of this very right-wing ideology. And this is one part of the FPÖ, but there's also a very huge part of young people, mainly young men, who are not very political people. They are just opponing. And they, you know, they don't like immigrants, but they are not they don't have a real ideology. So they think all the other parties are not cool, and FPÖ is cool because the leaders are younger, they're more attractive, they found their voice, I think. So, and for the European Union, we had a guy whose name is Mölz, and he was running number one. And last week he compared the European Union with National Socialism. And this was not that bad. You know, he could have done that without being fired. but he also edits a very right-wing newspaper called Die Zeit. And in this Die Zeit, he wrote an article about Umvolkung. That means if there are too many immigrants coming to Austria, the Austrian folk is changing. It's not the Austrian folk anymore. And he used the word Neger. Neger is like Negro for black people. It's very, very, very negative. And there's this Austrian football player, Alaba. Mm-hmm. We've heard he plays for München, for Munich. And he's very successful. And he made fun about him or was very discriminatory against this Alaba. And so finally he got fired from Strache because Alaba has a lot of followers of who support the FPÖ. Young people, young men who like football, and he's very successful. Mm-hmm. And so this was very interesting that he finally got fired because of disparaging this footballer.
You have talked about this negative part of their ideology. What are they fighting against? But what are they fighting for, if I may say so? Are they connected with this Austrian, history, or what is their ideology in these positive terms?
I think there's not too much in the program what they are for. It's I think this is typical for right-wing or also for left-wing populistic parties that they don't have a program what they wanna what they present, but it's typical that they fight against, so that it's always being against something and not having your own stand.
In Slovenia, we have in this movie that your name mentioned before, these neo-Nazis that presented there. Their ideology is not so explicit, I think. They are not, not so, they don't use so much symbols, they don't use, and for example, they don't have a common enemy like the Jews. Mm-hmm. They have immigrants and Islam, and I don't know, that the enemies are dispersed in a way. So do you think that from this point of view, that ideology of neo-Nazism today isn't so explicit, or
I wouldn't call the FPÖ neo-Nazi because this is not the way it is. Yeah. I think I would more call it right-wing populism, and sometimes they turn into right-wing party, and sometimes it's not neo-Nazi. So they don't use the swastika. They have learned. So they like for example, Haider used. Was complaining about American Jewish organizations, he used the word Ostküste, so Eastern Shore. Mm-hmm. That means America, the area like Boston, New York, where many Jews are living. So it's not that directly, and I think it's not also anti-Semitism that's the main ideology, because sometimes they are philo-Semitic to be able to, like for example, they try to be pro-Israel sometimes to have the right to be anti-Islam. Mm-hmm. This is a new development. Also, Wilders in the Netherlands, he's very much pro-Israel to have an excuse to be anti-Islam. And Le Pen now also, the even Jewish people in running for Le Pen, because she wants to be pro-Jewish. And then she kind of stylizes herself as the protector of the Jewish people against these Muslims burning synagogues in France. So I think it got very complicated and not that clear. I think the only party that might be close to neo-Nazi parties is the Greek party, the Golden Dawn, because they have this kind of Aryan ideology. Mm-hmm.
And what is their position towards homosexual and all that people, the persons that have different kinds of sexuality? Are they also violent or aggressive in this sense, or just in this sense of nations and multiculturalism and so on?
I don't know what the followers think, but the party run by Haider was not anti-gay, and there's the rumor that Haider was gay by himself, so that was actually, he never touched this subject.
Uh-huh, he never touched
it. No. Mm-hmm.
Because it's interesting, I think that in many other cases you have that the, this is a common topic, anti-gay and anti-minorities.
But this might also depend on his personal history. After, I don't know, some people think he committed suicide with the car, he had a car accident and died. And the next day they interviewed the man who was very close working with him, and he cried and called Heider mein Lebemann, and he's open gay, I think. So you have some gay people in his party, and I myself think Heider was gay, and it should not be the question, but that might be the reason why this party was never anti-gay.
I maybe have one question on the situation with the minorities from ex-Yugoslavia. How is this situation dealt with? Because I think you have, of course, you have the Slovenian minority, which is like has a special status. Then you have the Croats in the Gradiščanska, this the Croatian minority,
And so on. On the Hungarian border.
So how is this attitude towards minorities, diverse minorities from, let's say, ex-Yugoslavia?
Or in Corinthia, there was a lot of anti-Slovenia attitudes.
This was actually from the FPÖ.
From the FPÖ, but also the Corinthia was run before by Social Democrats, and they were all anti-Slovenia. It was, you know, it goes back to the partisan war and the long history. So they were regarded as betrayers of the fatherland, and Tito, the women were called Tito prostitutes and so on, and was a really terrible prejudice, and they had to fight, they were this long, I think they had to fight for 60 years to get this, I don't know how to express it in English.
Names.
Yeah, the double names, like having the Klagenfurt and Czelowitz or so, and they were, it was real kind of... But this, I think, goes more back to the World War One and World War Two, and but it's also very much anti-Slavic feelings, I would say, because you know you have English languages all over, but they didn't want to have a few Slovenish words in villages where the majority were 20% were Slovenish.
Because I think it's interesting also. I mean, for certain topics, let's say in Slovenia also, I mean, for the right of the. I don't know, for the, let's say, lesbian women to have children via artificial impregnation and so on. So it's interesting that even the left-wing parties do not support the ideas they should support. They are just putting them on hold, like in Carinthia, also in minority.
Yeah.
And then so nobody does anything, only that the right-wing parties do stress this as a subject of political battle, and the left-wing parties do not do anything.
Mm.
So this is quite interesting, as you mentioned.
Mm.
So, and is there any fight with some, let's say, a bit more liberal parties in Austria for this anti-Islam or anti-migrant situation?
Yeah, because you ask, I think the Slovenians in Corinthia are no immigrants. These are Austrian people who have always lived there. But we had in the 60s, we Austria invited actually guest workers to come from former Yugoslavia. And I think most of them are integrated very well, and the kids are doing well. So they are, in the eyes of the parties, no troublemakers anymore, because they really did well. And then we had another wave with the war in Yugoslavia. So these were the refugees in the 90s. So some of them were very educated people, I think, but we with them also there came Bosnian communities, but I think it's also not them this because most of these Bosnian are very integrated and very secular. There's only a small group that are kind of fundamentalistic Islam, but they became Muslims here and were not Muslims in Bosnia because their parents, I think, were secular, and so it's this kind of...
But this is maybe just a part of their identification in the country.
So I think it's also not the big subject. The big subjects are more the Turkish people who didn't adapt to the Austrian culture as fast as the former Yugoslavs and still wear headscarves and So this is the main subject of getting attacked, or so it's actually mostly Islam now.
But is there some predicted, let's say, broader opening of the politics to diverse minorities, like a special protection in the parliament and so on?
Yeah, we have actually the Green Party is very pro foreigners, so very much supporting and fighting against this prejudice, I would say. And there's also parts in the Social Democratic Party, parts in the ÖVP, but I think none of those two major parties want to burn their fingers because it's not popular. And I think this is actually the big problem of these right-wing parties, that even in countries where they are small and just gained maybe 10%, the main parties took over their ideas. Because they wanted to vote. And this is actually in Austria that they took so many ideas from the FPÖ just to get people to vote for them. For example, we had elections in the city of Salzburg a month ago, I think. And here now there's this big debate about gypsies, Romans, we call them Roma and Sinti. They come mainly from Romania, Hungary, Slovakia. And there, if you go through the city, you see a lot of beggars. And this is a big subject. It's going on for 2 years now, but it's just a very small group. And, you know, they sit there and there's a law, you can't beg aggressively. So they only sit there and sell some newspapers or whatever. And the ÖVP, that's the actually Christian Conservative Party, started a campaign during the elections. And one of the slogans was, Salzburg, city of organized beggars. So this was only to get some votes from FPÖ. And this, I think, is the really terrible thing.
And do you think that those problems are also a result of, in some way, false politic of this multiculturalism? Or what do you think about that?
Yeah. I think Austria, like Germany, was never prepared of becoming a multicultural country. So we had immigration from after World War II, there it started. But the concept was, and I think the Germans had the same concept, we accept them, but they should we give them food for a while and then they should go to America, or should continue to move. So it's like passing through the country, and only in the 80s we started to develop a concept of who we are, how, you know, it's not like America who defined itself as a multicultural state. So I think it's kind of not easy to get a new identity as a state. And I think Austria is searching for an identity with many people now who are not these typical Austrians, born here, raised here, and so on.
Many times these right-wings, populists, are connected with the fact that the left don't have an answer for the problem. Okay, see in Spain, Greece, and maybe also here in Slovenia, it's also, I believe, that it's going, this problem is growing. So it's here some new progressive parties are established.
Yeah, there's a new party now, it's called the NEOS. But this is not, it's kind of mixture now, and it just was founded 1 or 2 years ago. It was doing very well at the elections in Salzburg. And so they are a protest party, but I think they are not, the followers are not working class. It's more like young, educated people working in computer. It's a very, a party that is not very much a party that wants like fighting capitalism. It's this kind of economic liberal party. But it's a protest party, I would say. But it's a kind of covering a different group of people than FPÖ. I think the main problem is that in Austria the Social Democratic Party was always very strong until the 80s, and it was the party for the working class. And this party is just not able to talk to working class people the right way. and find an answer. It's more a middle class party now, and the Communist Party in Austria was never successful. It was a very long oriented on Stalinism and was never a kind of like the Italian Communist Party.
Still, these neos, as you mentioned, they also have some social ideas how to this equivalence to be reached, or they just like libertarian idea, just everything.
I don't see too many social ideas, but it's I think it's, you know, many green or many young people think the Green Party is an old party now, and all most of the politicians, of the leading politicians in the Green Party, are in their 50s and 60s. So young people are trying to find something new, and I think many vote for NEOs.
Okay.
Do you find any connections between this Austrian problematic, and you have also in many different European countries this new rise on the right, for example in Hungary, Orban in Greece, in Slovenia, also in Netherlands, you mentioned it. Do you think that this could be a threat, or is this just how to say, minor problem?
A passing phase.
Yeah.
I think the right wing parties are different in Western countries than in former communist countries. I think it's in Hungary the development is just is different. It's very much connected to the end of the communism and this very fast capitalism they had to deal with. And there's also, I think in Hungary you have a very strong anti-Semitism. You it's unthinkable to have here in this open form. I think there's a lot of difference. But if you compare Western European parties, I think FPÖ, the Wilders Party, Le Pen, there are many parallels. But on the other hand, I think it's hard for them to form a common party within the European Union, what they actually like to do. Because the FPÖ is too radical, for example, for the Danish party, because the Danish party wants to get in the parliament, in the government, and it's not good for the image. Or Wilders. Wilders also is very pro-Jewish, so he would never join the Greek party, because this is a very anti-Semitic party. So I think they have something in common, but they have also not too many in common to form a common party.
International.
Yeah.
It's a positive side.
Yeah,
the only one. Hilga Embacher. Poslušate pa oddajo Salzburg, skrajna desnica in radio Fabrik, če ste slučajno pozabili. Govorimo o skrajni desnici v Avstriji in na voljo imamo tukaj neke intervjuje, ki smo opravili v Salzburgu. Zdaj po Helgi, ki je malo bolj, tako ne rečem, teoretsko podkovana, smo se nekako pogovarjali tudi z malo bolj aktivistično stranjo Salzburga. To je en zmed teh predstavnikov, je Štefan Sovcek, aktivist platforme Gegenrechts. Težko je reči, da je vodja ali ni, ker preprosto sam zatrjuje, da je to neka horizontalna struktura. In skratka, zanimalo nas je, kaj točno je ta platforma, kako delujejo, kakšne so njihove aktivnosti, in kar poslušajmo Štefana.
Yeah, we formed half a year ago.
Half a year ago.
It was one reason out of the high election votes of the last Nationalrat, so it's our highest election form. They had a Freedom Party had really a lot of voters, so we decided we have to do anything in against this right-wing extremism, I call it like this.
Freedom Party is this
FPÖ.
FPÖ. Yeah, we've heard that.
All right, so yeah, we formed after the parliamentary elections, and so the Freedom Party really increased their voters, and we said, okay, we have to do anything against it. And in Salzburg there was a quite dangerous phenomenon from our side. We had a strong anti-Semitism. We had direct actions against the synagogue. We had around in Salzburg such small plates in the floor in front of houses where Jewish people lived,
mm-hmm.
and where it's clear that they were deported to Auschwitz or Dachau or anywhere, and all of these plates are painted with black color. Mm-hmm. We had direct actions against the synagogue, so they paint the Jewish stars yellow, and so it was all before these elections and afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had decided, okay, we have to do anything bigger against this right wing movements. And so yeah, then the Platform Against Right started with a very broad way of the society. So we have all parties inside. So from the near right wing side to the far left wing side, everyone
in this platform. Not from
Gegenrecht. Yes.
Uh huh.
So we have in Salzburg. It's a bit difficult. We have also from the People's Party. People there, they work against this right-wing extremism, mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the difficulties in the platform,
mm-hmm.
that we that it's very hard to say what is right and what is left. So I think it should be a very very flat structure and shouldn't get any organizational parts. Or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you are open for all kind of organization, also for political parties, if they want to make some propaganda through this platform. Do you have any selection?
That's quite a difficult point of the platform, because I think it's a mistake from the first day the platform formed, that we don't have really clear structures, like you mentioned. There are parties inside, so there are also parties worked in the platform. So the Greens are a part of the platform. The SPÖ, so the Social Party, are part of the platform. Their youth parties are part of them. So it's quite a problem if they want to make really propaganda over the platform. Till now it didn't happen once, so the parties are quite quiet in the platform, so they try to give us a bit their connections, to give their email addresses and so on, so to provide the platform. But it could be a problem. So maybe if we started once again, we had a bit more structure inside to say from the first days, okay, there can't be any propaganda inside. Normally we said everyone who wants to work against right, and also this word right, it's quite big, right? So you can put everything inside.
Torej, mislim, da ste iz te izjave Štefana iz platforme Gegenrechts, da se dobro da razvideti tudi neke probleme te platforme. Skratka, edina skupna točka je to, da so proti desni in to, da so tako zelo levi, da so povsem odprti, tako odprti, da vključijo lahko tudi desničarje, ki so proti desni. In tukaj mislim, da je dobro razviden, no, po mojem, ta paradoks neke absolutne odprtosti, ne, ker se lahko Se pravi, mi smo odprti, zato ker nismo desničari, smo totalno odprti, odprti do desničarjev, do strank, do vsega. In potem it could be a problem this, it could be a problem that in teh problemov se nekako izogibamo, zato ker hočemo ostati odprti in se mi zdi, da je to, ne bom rekel, da je to napačno nujno, ampak je zelo velika nevarnost, da nastane neki druzga iz tega, kot kar je bilo v začetku mišljeno.
Ja. Sej to, kar je govoril Štefan, tudi zanimivo, mislim, da neki točki reče, da to, kar druži to proti desno, da ni nujno, da si levičar. Lahko si tudi sam desničar, ki si proti desni, ne? In vprašanje je, kakšna razlika je znotraj same desnice potem, ne?
Ja, to mislim, da je en tako zelo paradigmatski primer problemov tega avstrijskega liberalizma, ali kaj bi lahko
tak
rekel,
ne, če malo
posplošimo, ne? Da se pravi, da ni nobene selekcije, da gre vse skozi razen desnice. Ampak je pa ta definicija zelo, zelo prožna nekako. Ok, predlagam, ne, da kar...
Gremo naprej s Štefanom, ki nam na nadaljevanju potem razlagal, kakšne so njihove aktivnosti, kakšne dejavnosti organizirajo in kako se nekako s temi svojimi aktivnosti umeščajo splošen kontekst, ki velja v Salzburgu, so to antiimigrantsko politiko in problem skrajne in neskrajne desnice.
What are your activities? Are you...
We had some two very big demonstrations against the actions before or quite afterwards the parliamentary elections. We have one bigger demonstration in the 2 months ago against the Freedom Party. So Heinz Christian Strache went to Salzburg and had his speech. And so we had the demonstrations. Now we formed a little bit more in a educational way, like yesterday the speech from Katrin was one of the parts from the platform. Mm-hmm. So we decided to go a little bit away from the only demonstration and far left platform to some bit education and to get the middle of the society. In Salzburg there's in the moment we have a lot of immigration from states of the eastern of Europe. So many Romanian people, Bulgarian people come here to earn money on what way ever. So the most you when you went through the city, there are a lot of beggars. They call them beggars. Beggars. in Salzburg. So they try to find work here. We don't have any social. We can't help them in Salzburg on a social way, so we have no sheltering, we have no housing for them, we have nothing. So they sleep on the streets, they sleep on the bridges and everywhere. So that's form a really negative way to them. So we have a anti-pluralism in the moment in Salzburg, so you really can feel it. It's some kind of anti-Ziganism. So it makes the whole work in the platform a little broader. So it's made let us go a bit more in work against anti-pluralism, to work for the poor people, to help them, to empower them, to try to get them any sheltering, any housing, any place they can sleep, that we can have the problem from the streets. Because I think that's one of the, highest problem in the moment in Salzburg. So this right wing, and it's not the far right wing problem in the moment. So it's really from the People's Party, they are really in the middle. So they really have nothing to do with any nationalism or something else.
Torej, to je bil Štefan iz platforme Gegenrechts. Nadaljujemo pa z morda za naš kontekst precej zanimivo temo in sicer Brown Ecos oziroma Rjavi ekologi. Gre za, pa ne vem, če je to gibanje ali pa nek motiv, se pravi, zanimivo je, da vedno, ko ponavadi slišimo besedo o ekologi, jih takoj povežemo z neko levičarskim gibanjem in tako naprej, ampak že iz zgodovine nekako je znano, ne, da tudi nacizem je bil zelo ekološki in del nacizma je zelo poudarjal te zadeve. Skratka, ni samoumevno, da je ekologija povezana z levico in rjavi ekologi so tukaj zelo dober primer in prisluhnimo Katrin Quatember, ki je imela ravno teh dneh, ko smo bili mi tam predavanje na to temo in je poznavalka gibanja rjavih ekologov.
Okay, I think there's not one specific ideology of all brown ecologists, but there are a few aspects on which you can identify if a person is a brown or a green ecologist. Like the idea of the nature is influencing all people and the people cannot do anything against this. So the nature is making the rules, okay? And we cannot do anything against it. And the next aspect is that they think that the people are not all equal. There are people who are fitter. The principle
Darwin
of the
terminology,
Darwin terminology, yes, the survival of the fittest. Mm-hmm. That's one of the main aspects of the brown ecology, the survival of the fittest, and the connex between nature and the human beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the history.
The history. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Very short.
The brown ecology. We always think when we think about ecology and ecology movements, we think about the green movements at the beginning of the 1980s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the ecology movement started quite earlier in Germany around at the end of the 18th century. Mm-hmm. Where the nature and the connection between nature and the human being was the main idea of the Romantic authors and the Romantic movement. And the next phases of the ecology movement, of the history of ecology movement, was at the beginning of the 19th century. With the main aspect was that nature or the ecology movement has to fight against industrialization and against working people, against the masses of working people in the cities. And that the ecological movement is a counterpart to this mass movement of working people and the industry. Point three, or the third phases, is National Socialism. They took a lot of arguments of the earlier ecological movements and put it together with a racial ideology and with the principle, survival of the fittest. Yeah. And they argumented all they did that some people are weaker than others. They argumented with these ecological terms of survival of the fittest to kill part of a German society. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the modern movement starting at the end of the 1970s, beginning of the 1980s, with the Green Movement, and they split it up into a left wing part and a right wing part. And the right wing part is still not such big in Germany, not in Austria as well. But they are staying stable. Mm-hmm. And maybe one aspect the FPÖ has in its program, the part I don't know how to translate it. It's the protection of our nature is also protection of our homeland. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And preserving Austria from protecting Austria from immigrants, mm-hmm. Is an aspect of protecting our homeland's nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Torej, slišali ste Katrin, ki nam je nekaj več povedala o rjavih ekologih. Pravzaprav jaz mislim, da tu ni nobeno samo deklarirano gibanje, ampak da gre za dost motivov, ki se pojavljajo na desnici in so nekako se sklicujejo na ekologijo. Ker nimamo časa, lahko povemo še, da nam je predstavila tudi neko recimo zvrst glasbe, ki se ji reče neopagan oziroma neka nova kmečka glasba.
Ja, mogoče celo bolj vezana na neofolk. Ja, mislim,
neofolk, ja. Neofolk. Ne v smislu narodno zabavnosti, ja. Ali pa kaj tašenga. Ja. In se pravi, v tej glasbi imamo, zelo je taka, sliši se nek taka malo mistična, starodavna glasba, gospodar prstanov. Tudi dosti se sklicujejo, mislim, dosti porabljajo to mitologijo nekih škratov, vilincev in vsega tega. In je rekla, da je pač zelo težko ločiti, kdaj je ta glasba recimo povsem nedolžna, kdaj pa gre predvsem, da se tu razpozna po besedah Führer ali pa rasa in podobnih besedah, ki naznačujejo, da v bistvu ta glasba skriva neke pomene, ki gredo pravzaprav v to rjavo smer, če se lahko tako izrazim.
Ja. Ja, nekoliko je težko razbrati, ker imajo res tako zelo tako mistično mitologijo, zelo so neki, kakor si rekel, pač neka narava je dosti dogaja nekih gozdovih, ljuvi se neke živali in tako naprej. Tako težko razbrati, a je res to tako nevarno, ali ni vsake tok časa se mi pazi, da kakšna taka beseda kot je.
Gre za neko, ja, ta vrnitev prvinskosti, neko skorda malo desničarsko hipijevstvo, nekaj kaj tašenga.
S poudarkom neke avtoritete, malo se mi zdi.
No, ja, seveda, vodja je pa potreben, ja. Ok, mogoče za konec, nimamo več veliko časa, ful je bilo še zanimivih elementov, stvari, kaj bi kaj izpostavili.
Ja, mogoče to, da smo nekako probali po vseh teh intervjujih, so to levo-desno sceno, smo probali poiskati nekaj, kar bi bilo na ravni samega dogajanja, nekaj bolj levičarsko, nekaj bolj neke alternative, ne, kot je pri nem recimo Metelkova, Rok in podobne zadeve. In dejansko smo imeli velike težave, da bi našli kaj podobnega. Sicer so imeli, če se prav spomnim, Infoladen, se pravi Infoshop, ne, ampak je bilo nekako, mislim, da dosegljivo, ali kako že.
No, brtovo je še razvečer, pa potem se nismo odpravili, ampak ja, imajo v bistvu, mislim, da celo dva infoladna, ki sta med sabo celo nekaj spričkana, ampak to je zgodba zase. Pač potem smo najdeli en plac sen, Denkmal se imenuje, kjer smo potem na koncu tudi prestali. Mogoče je povedal to, da so tam bili ljudje, pač seveda se prodaja alkohol brez računov in tako, kakor je to normalno v takih klubih. Ampak so bili tako malo zaskrbljeni zaradi tega, ker ne dobijo popolnoma nobene podpore od občine. Ne? In tako smo edini, ki ne dobimo nič, pa lahko bi kaj dobili. Niso bili najbolj zadovoljni s tem statusom, ki ga imajo. Čeprav se nam je zdelo, pa je to pač je bil eden od presežkov, saj za nas, ko smo ga tam držvili.
Ker se tiče Denkmala, je mogoče zanimivo še poudariti, da se tudi tam zelo dobro vidi ta odprtost avstrijska, liberalizem. Se pravi, bar zgleda tako, da je majhen bar in pa prazen oder, na katerem so bobni, kitara in kontrabas in je oder odprt za vse, tudi za desničarje, ki ga lahko uporabijo, da svojo glasbo tam, in mi smo seveda se izražali približno od polnoči do štirih. Smo se pravzaprav okoristili in uživali to odprtost duha. Ja. Mogoče zanimivo še poudariti, da smo srečali tudi neko gospo, ki dela na Radio Fabrik, nekako bolj anarhistično oddajo oziroma ukvarja se tudi z zapatističnim gibanjem v Mehiki. In nam je tudi ona predstavila recimo svoje videnje, ki je recimo zanimivo po tem, da ni tako zelo enako tem platformam, recimo Gegenrechts ali pa temu, se pravi, je dosti bolj skrajna levičarka v nekem smislu in tudi kritična do teh, točno do tega, kar smo tudi mi danes skušali prikazati, do te odprtosti in nekakšne brezideološkosti in upetosti v NGO sceno in podobne zadeve.
Ja, glih to kritično se mi zdi, da pač malo izstopala pri njej, da je bila neka nestrpnost, ampak v tem kritičnem smislu, ne to, da pač si a priori proti nekomu, ampak vsej, da nisi kar takoj pač neselektiven in da spuščaš fase kar vse, tako kot pač ta platforma Gegenrechts, kot smo nekako ugotovili. Ne.
Mogoče bi bilo smiselno še, da povemo, no, da na Radio Fabrik smo, se pravi, najprej smo bili v kontaktu z Evo Schmidhuber, ki je kot nek njihova vodja, koordinatorka programa in se ji moramo zelo zahvaliti, da nam je zrihtala, pripravila vse te intervjuje in nas, da smo lahko stopili v kontakt z vsemi temi ljudmi, prav tako pa smo bili zelo toplo sprejeti tudi na radiju strani
Klisa in Norberta, ja, še predvsem.
Ker smo gostovali v njihovi oddaji in tudi bili na neki tej zabavi, ki so jo imeli sodelavci radija, neka interna zabava, ki je bila pravzaprav zelo zanimiva. Še kaj tašnega bi rekli. Salzburg kot mesto, lep, bel.
Lep, ampak tako mislim, jaz sem te tri dni zelo užival, ampak mislim, da četrti dan pa bi bil že malo drugačen lahko. Ja. Tako zelo lepo mesto za tri dni, se mi zdi.
Ja, ja.
Se strinjam.
Ja. Na prvi pogled zelo belo, zelo lepo, ampak kot smo sluškali pokazati, so tudi črne packe in ne samo na teh judovskih zvezdicah, kot je bilo rečeno v izjavah, ne, ki so neki vandali pobarvali te zadeve. Ok, ja. To bi bilo to. Hvala lepa, poslušajte Radio Študent še naprej.
Lep pozdrav.
Schwaben kommen do Kukuruzen. Besen divje schnoffen und Schwaben gut wissen, wo Partisanen in Kukuruzen schlafen. Partisanen i dalje schlafen ko majka und ni slučajno ne horen Schwaben plazen prema njima. Odjedanput eine Kukuruzen poken und den Schwaben und Partisanen se odmah weg. Sie zgraben Schießgewehr, aber Schwaben Schnellschießgewehr viel besser. Schwaben offen Feuer direkt vor Partisanen und Partisanen auch beginnen verderben neprijatelsku živu silu i tehnička materialna sredstva. Aber Schwaben pobeden, Partisanen obležalen in kukuruzen. Partisanen nicht gut, Partisanen kaput.
Odprti termin v okviru projekta Grundtvig.
Salzburg, skrajna desnica in Radio Fabrik.
Ah, ta radio. Kot staro vino.
Ob tegu naročico bo ura točna.